Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session today, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Tom Skinner. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, Shirley, and thank you for joining us today for CDC's release of a vital signs report on non-fatal motor vehicle occupant injuries 2009 and seatbelt use 2008 among adults here in the United States. With us is the CDC Director, Dr. Thomas Frieden, who's going to provide some opening remarks. And also with us is an epidemiologist from our Division of Unintentional Injury Prevention, Lori Beck, who will be on hand if necessary to help with questions that you may have later during the briefing. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Frieden.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks very much for joining us. Today is the latest in our monthly vital signs release, and really what we have here is good news. Wearing a seatbelt on every trip has become the norm in America, and that is associated with a steady fall in injuries and deaths from motor vehicle crashes. We also know that today's data shows that strong seatbelt laws save lives and save money. Motor vehicle crashes remain the leading cause of death in the United States among young people aged 5 to 34. More than 2 million adults each year are treated for injuries in emergency departments, and nearly 34,000 people of all ages died from these injuries last year. Every 14 seconds, an adult in the U.S. is treated in an emergency department for a motor vehicle crash-related injury. And this is costing us not only lives, but also money. The total lifetime cost, both medical and in terms of productivity loss, of motor vehicle crashes in a single year of 2005 was more than $11 billion. We cannot afford to continue to lose the money and lives that are being lost to motor vehicle crashes. Seatbelt use is the most effective method to reduce the risk of injury or death, and it protects drivers and passengers, reducing the risk of being killed by about half. The simple act of buckling up every time doesn't require any money, and it does save lives and save money. Primary seatbelt laws, or laws which enable the police to pull over and ticket individuals not wearing seatbelts, are a very effective way to increase seatbelt use. They have the potential to increase use and decrease death rates. In 2008, for the first time, overall seatbelt use reached a high of 85%, really making it the social norm in this country. Seatbelt use was much higher in states that have primary enforcement laws, 88%, than in states that only had secondary enforcement laws, 79%. And we estimate that if seatbelt use in states with secondary enforcement laws had matched that in states with primary enforcement laws, there would have been more than 7 million adults buckled up who weren't buckled up otherwise. There are some real success stories here, not only nationally, but in terms of individual states. 7 states have achieved a rate of 90% or more in seatbelt wearing. Oregon, California, Washington State, Hawaii, New Jersey, Texas, and Puerto Rico. And I think some of those may surprise some people, but virtually everyone knows someone or knows of someone who has had a tragedy because of an injury or death in a motor vehicle crash. Motor vehicle crashes are preventable, and injuries from motor vehicle crashes are preventable. There is enormous variation between different states in the rate of motor vehicle crashes and motor vehicle deaths, just as there is enormous variation between countries. And the U.S. rate is far higher than rates in other countries where people drive just as fast and drink just as much as we do. So more progress is possible, but significant progress has been made. To recap, before I turn it over to Lori, today's news is good news. Seatbelt wearing on every trip has become the social norm in this country, but more progress is possible. People should buckle up on every trip, and states that don't yet have primary seatbelt laws should consider adopting them as a way of saving both lives and money.
Okay, Shirley, I think we're ready for questions.
Thank you. We are now ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment for our first question. Our first question comes from Mike Stobie with the Associated Press. You may ask your question.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. First question, Doctor, you gave 85% of the adult seatbelt wearing rate. Do you have a rate for teens? Also, what else besides seatbelt use might account for the decline in injuries and deaths?
I'll start off and ask our expert to add to that. This study looked only at adults age 18 and above. So we have other data that we can provide about teen child use wearing, but the data that we're reporting today is only about adults. We do know that adult behavior is correlated with child behavior, and the more adults wear belts, it's more likely that they'll have their kids wearing belts as well. What was your second question again, Mike?
It was you mainly talked about seatbelt use
right.
And its association with the decline. What else might account for the decline in deaths and injuries?
I think there are a variety of factors. Some of them are design-related, so our vehicles are getting safer, and that's an important aspect. Some are relating to the amount of driving that people are doing in tough economic times with high gasoline prices. But even when you look at deaths per vehicle miles traveled, we see a steady decline. Lori?
That's right. There are other factors that contribute to declines in injuries, but we do know that seatbelts reduce the risk of injury and death in a crash by about 50%, and they are the most effective way to prevent injuries and death.
Furthermore, as we released data recently showing a very substantial decrease over the past decade in injuries and deaths among young drivers, teens, this relates, we think, to the expansion of the graduated driver's licenses. And although no state yet has the ideal graduated driver's license law, they've become the norm in most states. And this is a very important factor in reducing motor vehicle crashes, not just among teens, but among others more broadly.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Daniel DeNoon with WebMD. You may ask your question.
Thank you. Dr. Frieden, do the statistics show a direct link between the reduction in injuries and the increased use of seatbelts? Is this directly correlated? And I also have a second question on an unrelated topic.
We know that wearing a belt reduces your risk of dying in a crash by about half, but the rates of wearing in society in a state with injuries or deaths in that state is not something that we tried to do in this study.
Thank you. And with regard to those state laws, do they also include ticketing passengers for passengers who are not the driver for not wearing seatbelts? And do those vary? Are there laws that are just front seat, or are there some that go into the back seat? And is there any indication that the more stringent of those laws has any effect?
It certainly does vary by state. Some states are not only primary versus secondary, but as you note, front seat versus back seat.
Right, and we didn't look at those factors in this study, but there is evidence from other studies that those kind of factors can impact seatbelt use as well. And those include whether only the front seat passenger and driver are covered, or also the occupants in the rear seat.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carol Robidoux with New Hampshire Union Leader. You may ask your question.
Thank you very much. I had a question about the statistics. I checked the most recent stats that I could find from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. I'm here in New Hampshire where I think we're the only state that doesn't have mandatory seatbelt laws, primary or secondary, or at least primary in this case. And according to the 2008 statistics, it appears that of all the states surveyed, the 50 states and territories, but particular to the 50 states, New Hampshire had the greatest increase year over year from 2007 to 2008 in terms of usage. It looks like it went up 5.4% in 1 year, and the statistics have increased pretty dramatically in the last 7 or 8 years from 49.6 or something like that. And here it has been a contentious issue in terms of mandatory law, and some would say, the argument has been, and it has continued to win over the Senate, that having a mandatory law isn't the key. More is education and getting people to do the right thing rather than making it, you know, a punitive law. And I just wondered about the CDC vital signs report. You mentioned that it was based on some 2009 figures, but I'm assuming that you're still relying on these same National Highway Traffic Safety figures for 2008, and that those are the most recent figures in terms of state-by-state usage?
Yeah. So you're right that New Hampshire is the only state that doesn't have any seatbelt law, either primary or secondary. Our report is based on a different data system, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, from 2008. And we could get you longitudinal data subsequently if you'd like, but we don't have them now.
Okay. So can you state that name again of the data system that you're using?
BRFSS. And our press office can get you the information. It's in the report on Table 2.
Oh, okay. I can look that up.
If you want to call, my name's Tom Skinner, and if you want to call 404-639-3286 after this call, we'll get you what you need.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question, Shirley?
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Timothy Martin with Wall Street Journal. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. In the release statement, it said about 1 in 7 adults don't wear seatbelts on every trip. So I was wondering if you guys could give any color. Are there certain trips that the data has found where the seatbelt usage was lower?
Just one moment, please. We can give you that information and follow up. The question is asked, do you wear a seatbelt always, nearly always? And so we can get you that information and follow up.
Yeah, I just wondered if, you know, if it was, there are groups of people out there who just never wear a seatbelt and they're part of, you know, the dip in numbers, or is it, you know, maybe logic would say for shorter trips, if you just run into the supermarket or a gas station, you don't belt up.
What's really striking is the steady increase in people who do wear a seatbelt on every trip.
Yes, and it's important to wear a seatbelt on every trip because no one really knows day-to-day when they get into a motor vehicle if they're going to be in a crash, and that's why the goal is to have every person buckled up in every seat on every trip that they take.
We also know that the simpler the policies, the more likely people are to comply, and sometimes you might end up taking a longer trip than you thought you would when you got in.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, Shirley?
At this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1. And one moment, please, for our next question. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay.
Okay, well, I want to thank you all for listening and your interest. And again, the news I think is good that wearing a seatbelt on every trip has become the social norm in this country. We do have farther to go because motor vehicle crashes remain the leading cause of death among young people in this country. And not wearing a seatbelt is costing us both lives and money. We also showed through our report a very substantial difference in the rate of seatbelt wearing among states with primary versus secondary seatbelt laws. So that's one area where states can make a policy change that doesn't cost anything and does save both lives and money. Thank you all very much, and all the best for a very healthy and productive 2011.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.